Now, where are we up to? Now, it's no surprise to regular listeners that one of the favourites of the nominees of us here at Counting the Beat are the Mint Chicks. And they were nominated for the song Crazy Yes, Dumb No. And they were robbed, actually, because obviously that was the number one song. Now, there's a little interesting backstory to the Crazy Yes, Dumb No, Mint Chicks thing. Last year, Anika Moa's Stolen Hill was nominated, and the Mint Chicks were the ones who covered that on stage. Shortly afterwards, Anika Moa appeared on C4 and performed a cover of Crazy Yes, Dumb No, which has received quite a bit of airplay. In fact, I think I've played it here on the show. So there's this whole kind of cover version and hearing the song in different contexts has been around for that particular Mint Chicks song for quite some time. So I wasn't surprised at all that they were nominated for the Silver Scrolls. Now, we've got an extended interview with Ruben Nielsen, the songwriter of that song, and I'll break it in the middle and play you the cover version of the Mint Chicks song that was performed on the night as well. So here's, let me just get it queued up for you. Okay, so I had a chat with Ruben Nielsen from the Mint Chicks. One of the favourites of us here on Counting the Beat at the Beach in the Silver Scroll Awards this year are the Mint Chicks. Now, Ruben, we were just chatting before about the fact last year that we awarded you an Alternatui. Now, the album's been out for a while. It seems to have taken a while for the wider public to get hold of this and recognise it.
Yeah, I suppose it's been a bit of a slow burnout. We told the label when we first started that we were mostly concerned with getting the album out to our fans and the people that appreciate, you know, what we're doing, and that if there was an audience beyond the people that were already into us, you know, then that would be fine, but that we'd need to take care of our core audience first and make sure that the marketing, you know, for the album didn't alienate those people and didn't sort of, so they could feel that it was their album, you know. And it's sort of continued to just grow really slowly and kind of organically, and that's been really good. That's the best way that we, you know, that's the best thing we could ask for, is for it to keep growing, but in a slow kind of real way, not in a sort of... you know, we'd seen a lot of sort of bands that had been marketed in a sort of bombastic kind of way from the outset on with their albums, and sort of that kind of thing. You know, as a music fan, like I find that that alienates me when a band that I love is projected over my head to the bigger audience. You know, beyond. You know, who I'm, you know, the kind of people like me that will follow a band through their whole career and love everything they do. So that's good. We couldn't have asked for it to go any more smoothly, you know.
Now, one of the things that we've always liked about the Mint Chicks is the way that you kind of bring together some really catchy pop hooks, but a whole kind of album's worth of ideas within one song. Now, I suppose in this song and in the other songs on the Crazy Yes, Dumb No album, the pop hooks seem more to the fore. So was that something that just emerged in the writing, or something that you strive to achieve?
We worked quite hard towards it, because it was when we finished the first album, it was sort of a thing that we'd decided, the next album we're going to do will be like a power pop record. You know, this is like the idea that we had in our heads, and then without sort of thinking that it was going to be popular in the sense that, I mean, pop in the sense that lots of people will like it, but more pop in the sense that it would have hooks and the songs would be short and catchy, you know. And so we already had that idea in our head before we even started writing the record or anything. And then I did the artwork for it, and the artwork was done before any of the songs were recorded, so it was sort of, I wanted to do the artwork to sort of show to the other guys and sort of say, like, this is kind of what the album's going to be, you know, like this kind of thing. But and the artwork was really colourful and surreal, and and accessible on the surface, but kind of also it was quite free. Like it would just, it was free association. Like it would have one of the pictures, like a picture of a guy with his face skinned off, and like there's another one that has a woman who's like has this giant strap on dildo and all these kind of weird kind of outrageous things, but like wrapped up in like a candy coloured kind of aesthetic or look. And so when we went into the album, it was just already like we wanted to make this kind of bubblegum kind of record. So that was our version of bubblegum pop when it, and we really worked really hard to sort of keep polishing it to the point where maybe it was even over polished or like exaggeratedly slick, so that it would be in like a real harsh contrast to the first album, which was done really quickly and was really harsh sounding and raw. So I don't know, it was definitely the point where we wanted to say that we could write songs, and we wanted it to be kind of like a, you know, like lollies, you know, like like a sugar rush, the whole thing. So yeah,
now that sounds to me like a band that has big ambitions. You know, you don't, it doesn't sound like a band that sees itself playing the King's Arms still in 10 years' time.
Well, I don't know. It's more we never really think about stuff like that. We just we've always been like really ambitious. Even when we were, you know, even when we play somebody's lounge, we're still like, but it's like a musical ambition. It's not like a career kind of ambition. We're really ambitious about how good we want to get, and how sort of how much people can get out of the music that we make, and all the stuff like money and all that stuff is kind of obscured by this need that we have to make, you know, music the best that we can possibly make it. And it's not we're not unrealistic about it. I reckon I think that it's like a, we just want to be the best that we can be, and we know that there are a lot better musicians out there in the history of music and stuff like that, and that's okay. We've kind of dealt we can deal with that, you know, like Cody can deal with the fact that he's not James Brown, and you know, and so on. So I don't know, it seems like, I feel like we're like, the world is so open to us because all we want is stuff that we can achieve, you know. Be the best you can be is not like an unachievable goal, so we just keep doing that. So no, when it comes down to like King's Arms, I don't mind if we're playing the King's Arms in 10 years, you know, if people know that when they're going to go there that we're the real deal, and we're like a band that really is going to give them something special and unique, you know.
And now to perform Crazy Yes Dumno, please welcome Tyra and the Tornadoes!
No. crazy, but I'm not dumb. Why you looking so down when you're so wired? Why going into town? Come over to my house. Come on, boy, just come round. I may be crazy, but I'm not dumb. I may be crazy, but I'm not too young. No, to love you. I won't be fooled again. No, 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 no.
I wanted to ask you about being on Flying Nun, because it's a label with such a strong legacy, you know, and that kind of rich cultural heritage, but it's quite a different beast nowadays from what it used to be. What does it mean being on Flying Nun, and you know, and do you feel as if you're part of that long legacy?
We have a kind of, even when we first signed to Flying Nun, it was like on a kind of childish basis, you know, like we just wanted to be on Flying Nun. It's something that we wanted, sort of when we first started the band. It was like we hadn't thought about anything else other than that we were going to be on Flying Nun. That was like that was our big ambition, was to get on Flying Nun. And then and it's funny because Flying Nun were the only record label that approached us after we'd been together for a while, and we didn't ever sort of want to look at other record labels because we just wanted to be on Flying Nun so badly. So even today, it's like that childish kind of attachment to the idea of being on Flying Nun is still like, it's still kind of a big deal to us. And the coolest thing is that we've, you know, whenever we go overseas or whenever we've done things, you know, like Roger Shepherd's been there, and and he's continuously kind of given us like these nods of approval and stuff like that, and that's like a big thing. I think if Roger hadn't been sort of so supportive of what we were doing, then it might have seemed a bit weird. But apart from that, like just getting away from the whole Flying Nun thing and talking about, you know, like Warner and the people that work there, that they're a really good record label, and they work the record and really you know, that they work the record the way that we want them to work the record, and that's really great. And then at the same time we have we get the approval from the old Flying Nun people that we you know, which is really important to us. So it's never been an issue in terms of like being negative or wishing that, you know, we'd been on the old Flying Nun or anything like that. We always just felt like we're so lucky, like we got such a good deal, you know, out of it, because you know Warner have enough money to do things like sending us overseas and all that, and yet when we go overseas, Roger Shepherd always meets up with us and says, "Hey, that was a great set," or whatever. So I don't know, it's never been an issue, yeah, and neither has it been an issue with creative control. You know, they've always just left us to do what we want, and then we end up coming out with the record and saying this is it, and the record comes out, you know. So I can't ask for more than that, you know.
There's Ruben Nielsen there from the Mint Chicks. That was the second part of my interview with him, and in the middle there you heard Tyra and the Tornadoes, and that was their version of Crazy Yes, Dumb No, from the Silver Scroll Awards 2007. I said before we'd hear some more from Helen Clark. Well, here goes.
There's truly been something for everyone tonight, all the way from classical and te reo inspired to harmony and heavy metal.
The Beach, 99.4. It's about variety.
Yes, it is, and we had a whole variety of songs nominated for the Silver Scrolls, and the final of the five that we haven't heard yet is Albertine from Brooke Fraser.
And the winner of the APRA Silver Scroll for 2007 is Brooke Fraser for Albertine.
And now to give their rendition of Albertine, please welcome the Crankin, the Skankin, D-Dub.
I
the distant sea. But I carry you on me, and the dust 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 on my feet. Wonder now that I have seen, I am responsible. Faith without the deeds is dead. Now that I have held you in my own arms, I cannot let go till you are. Without the deeds is dead. And now that I have held you in my own arms, I cannot let go till you
Brooke Fraser.
Well, you've been listening to the Counting the Beat Silver Scrolls special here on The Beach 99.4 FM. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to everybody who voted in our poll on the blog, waihikiradio.blogspot.com. Keep a look out there for information on the podcast of this show. And we finish off the evening as the Silver Scrolls finished off with a very special performance. Blam, 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 back together after what must be 25 odd years. Performing for you with the Waitakere City Brass Band. I'll be back next Sunday at 6 o'clock bringing you all the very best of Kiwi music here on Counting the Beat on the Beach. Waiheke Island, 99.4 FM.
there's no depression in New Zealand. We can all keep perfectly calm. Everybody's talking about a World War III. Everybody's talking about a World War III, but we're as safe can be. There's no more rest in this country. We have no cures. We have no drug addicts. We have no racism. We have no sexism. Sexism. No, no, there is no depression in New Zealand. No depression in New Zealand. We sleep in a well-made bed. No, 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 everybody's talking about a World War III. Everybody's talking about World War III. But we're safe can be. There's no unrest in this country. We have no missiles. We have no secret. We have no rebellion. We have no failure. No, no, there is no depression in New Zealand. There are no sheep on our farm. No depression in New Zealand. No! We can all be perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. Perfectly calm.
This is Ruben Nielsen from the Mint Chicks, and you're listening to Counting the Beat.
There's truly been something for everyone tonight, all the way from classical and Te Reo inspired to harmony and heavy metal.